Let's think about the fact that Uruguayans love friendships that are sincere and lasting, that life is not fast like a bullet train, but more laid back, walk along the coast with someone. That will give us a guideline of the type of missionaries we need and think that this generation can bring as well. Those who give themselves the privilege of stopping, you know, and having your schedule interrupted. The key is that your schedule shouldn't be dominated by a lot of activities, but with long spaces for a few people. And people are not their projects, but God has called us to be faithful servants who demonstrate God's love for each other in genuine friendships.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Hello, you're listening to Speaking of Going. My name is Ben, or Ban, depending on where you live in this awesome country. Formerly, I was reluctant to do cross-cultural work. Now, I'm not so reluctant, and I got my good friend Randy here.
And you can call me Randy, or you can call me Randall, depending on where you live in the world. And I used to be an atheist, but now I'm a leader of a little band of cross-cultural workers called SIM USA. And I'm here with my friend Andres.
Okay, and you can call me Andres or Felipe. It's totally different because Andres is my celebrity name. No, but you can call me Andres.
So Andres, tell me, how did you get a celebrity name? I think I want a celebrity name.
Because it's my second name, and I don't know why or when I started to use only my second name. It's just that.
So what did your parents call you when you were a child?
Felipe.
Felipe
is my first name. Oh. Yeah, my first name.
What did your friends call you in high school?
Felipe. But in the church, and I don't know why, in the church, I started to use Andres. And now it's Andres.
Okay. So when you were in high school, what country was that in?
Costa Rica.
In Costa Rica. And right now you're in?
Uruguay.
So how did it happen that you wound up going from Costa Rica to Uruguay?
Well, it's a little bit long, but I will.
Oh, we've got 3 hours. It's fine.
We got plenty of time.
Okay. Well, for several years, my wife and I were involved in serving in Next Generation Ministry as youth leaders, and I was the director of the National Movement of Missions for Costa Rica's youth for our mission agency, FEDEMEC. FEDEMEC is a mission agency in Costa Rica. One day the agency became aware of an opportunity. They were looking for someone to go to Uruguay to develop youth leaders and partnership with SIM, or with SIM. I don't know what do you prefer, SIM or SIM?
We don't know either. We don't have a clue. It's true.
When the leaders in charge of this agency read, they immediately called us and said they thought it was an opportunity very tailored specifically for us. And that time I didn't know anything about Uruguay, and we were actually considering going out as missionary to Eastern Europe. But at some point, because in the future, as we just got married, at this time, I don't know, maybe we were less than 1 year of. Then the director of SIM Uruguay, Myron Loss, he was an American missionary as well. He came to Costa Rica to tell us about the opportunity to invite us to get to know the country. Well, when we arrived in Uruguay for the first time, we hadn't even been married for a year, as I said. And our experience in the country, those few days show us that there was a lot of need. And that it was more similar with Europe than the rest of Latin America. It was very, very different for us. We learned that there was a lack of training of youth leaders who would take responsibility for the evangelization of their own country. We felt like a huge need, but as well a huge opportunity. One afternoon, I remember while on that trip, God put this question on my heart. How do you change a country?
That's a good question.
Very good question. It was like, how do you change a country? I was seeing a lot of need there and thinking how can change all this? And the answer was very clear to me. It was like by changing their next generation. And how you change them was the second question. And the answer was building up leaders for them. And well, we returned to Costa Rica after this vision trip, and it took us almost 3 years or I think more to prepare and raise the necessary support, because few people understood the idea of going to Uruguay to train leaders.
Yeah.
And this was also and valid and necessary ministry to do.
So now Andres, I have I'm a little bit embarrassed to confess what I'm about to confess here, but I remember my first South American friend was Rene Quesada, and he was from Chile. And I met him while I was at MIT, and we were doing a Bible study together. And I, at that point in my history, I had it in my mind that every place in South America, Central America, and Mexico, they all like to eat tacos and burritos. And they all speak Spanish, and they all have sort of the same. To me, there was like the United States, and then there was all of those countries to the south of the United States that are basically the same. And I've since come to visit you, and I've been to Chile, yeah. And I've been to several other South American countries, and it turns out that it's not all the same. But so I'm trying to give you some perspective about the level of ignorance that at least one of our listeners might have. So Costa Rica, your homeland, is in Central America. And it's not very similar to Mexico.
No, it's totally different in many ways.
And then Uruguay, I've been to visit another person in Costa Rica, and then I've been to Uruguay, and my experience is Uruguay, it feels almost like Europe.
Well, the first of all, we need to think in Uruguay in terms of that it's more like Europe in terms of statistics than the rest of Latin America. Suicide is very, very high, and the atheism is very high as well. I think it's close to 40% of the people recognize themselves as atheist. It's like Eastern Europe.
So you did in fact wind up going to Eastern Europe.
Yeah, practically, technically no, but in some ways, yes.
Yeah. So when you went from Costa Rica to Uruguay, what were some of the major cultural differences from your homeland to your new homeland?
Well, I think that Costa Rica has a very religious background. And Uruguay is not in that way. You know, it's Holy Week, it's Tourist Week, they call that. You know, Christmas is not like Christmas. It's the name of the government gave that is Family Day, the Family Day. And a lot of things, even the food, they is more like Arab with bread and pasta, a lot of pasta for here. And it's even the how you understand the life is changed. It's different and changing a lot.
So now, My personal experience with Costa Rican people, I guess you would be one of them, and then a few other friends from Costa Rica. My personal experience is that the Costa Rican flavor of Latino, so there's a lot of Latino flavors, but my experience with Costa Rican flavor of Latino is that there's a lot of, there's a great balance between intellectualism and emotion. That there's a passion and an emotion that comes through naturally, but then there's also a rational or a calculated bit. So I think I think it's beautiful the way, in my limited experience, Costa Ricans balance passion and emotion in their relationship with Jesus and their value for the truth and the word. So for me, that's when I think of what is the superpower of Costa Rican culture, that's kind of what I think of.
Well, but let me share other superpower, Costa Rican superpower. obviously coffee. Coffee is the best coffee in the world.
Oh my gosh.
And that explains a lot of things. But you know, in Costa Rica, we are known for being quite happy as well. And in fact, even we have a national phrase that embodies this state of joy internally with how we want things to be around us. The phrase is pura vida, you know. Pura vida is pure life. Classic translation, classic. And if you have visited Costa Rica, you will have heard it many times.
I used to work with a Costa Rican. We would sit together every single day and build guitars together. And we'd arrive early in the morning. And there was a certain time that my Costa Rican buddy, shout out to Jose, he would go downstairs and he would get this sock and he would fill it full of coffee grounds and he would set it on this little wooden little flapper thing and he would pour hot water through it and he would make me awesome coffee every single day.
Yeah, you're a lucky guy.
It's a great deed.
So one of the rules that we have on our little podcast here is we only talk about the positive characteristics of culture. So now, when you think about going to Uruguay, and you compare the Uruguayan culture and the Costa Rican culture, what unique superpowers do you see in the Uruguayan people's culture?
Well, for me, the value that they place on conversation and being able to stop and be sit with others. That is not necessary to have some great program or have activities in order to get together.
Oh, really?
But really, they love just getting together to talk and have a mate. Mate is the national drink that you and share it in around. That is all the program that they need. And I love it. The other thing is the relevance of soccer. Yeah, for sure. As a Latino, I love soccer. But in Uruguay, their love for this sport is taken to another level. And it's my top three. In addition, the value of the family is a very important aspect to note. Every Sunday, almost religiously, families gather to share an asado. It's like a barbecue, you know, and or a good pasta. Regardless whether they are far away or with a lot of activities, the family prioritizes the time to be there with their family members over pretty much everything. It's very nice to see that. That's superpowers, Uruguayan superpowers. Huh. The soccer especially.
So there's many Americans, like my former self, used to believe that the rest of the world pretty much just hates and dislikes all things about American culture. Obviously, we're exploring the beauty of our cultures here. So what is it that you have noticed about Uruguayans and how they perceive Americans, specifically American Christians? Can you point out stuff that maybe they see that they find beautiful about the American people, or the American culture, or American Christian culture, maybe that we haven't heard before?
I can mostly tell you about the Americans serving in my Latin American context.
Sure.
From what I have seen, they have had a great impact because they have been faithful to serve selflessly in the region. And I include my own life when I talk it. When I speak of that mark of the kingdom of God that the American church especially has left in Latin America. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to imagine the clinics, orphanages, schools, denominations, theological seminaries without American missionaries playing major roles in the formation of these efforts. These services have been agents of transformation in Latin America. It could be impossible to, for me, it's impossible to separate the history of the church in Latin America from the missionary movement carried by the American missionaries. Mm. Practically, technically impossible.
So Andres, one of the things that happens is the people that are 25 or 30 years old right now in America, they can see the value of what people did 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. And they can see the work that you described and see that it's important. But then when they think of themselves going, they say, you know, all these things have already been established. And so maybe we should just send money. Maybe we should just send some money so that Andres doesn't need Americans to come there because he's already established and the church is established and the orphanages are established. And so maybe there's no reason that Americans should go anymore. Maybe that era, that historical part that Americans did, that's really special. But now, now we should just get out of the way.
But this could be looking at from a big picture perspective, but also looking at in a more personal ground level, I can't help but emphasize the faithfulness and commitment American missionaries tend to have with those who they disciple on a personal level. But obviously, Uruguayans appreciate the same things that I have mentioned. It's the same things. When there is a long-term commitment, since things in Uruguay usually take a long time, the consistency and constancy is really valued. And I can see that Uruguayans have a lot of openness and affection for Americans when they notice this genuine commitment.
I'm just thinking, I think I still think in terms of like 1 to 3 years, and that's how I would even express what I'm doing. But if I look how long I've been, you know, working for SIM, I think I'm up to 8 years now. So it's not like it's, and I'm still, you know, it's just something that I think that I am thinking about the fruits of my labor in more of a short-term sense. It's not that I'm not uncommitted, like I'm actually really committed and pretty passionate, but I am looking for some sort of validation of, you know, is what I'm doing in the short term, is it really contributing to anything long term? Is it contributing to the bigger picture? Am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing something else? All those types of questions that kind of, they're actually good questions to ask, I think, in any environment, even for longevity's sake, but they can become the ultimate thing sometimes.
I think that it's part of the new generations, even in Latins, this thing to take responsibility for short-terms. But in my own experience, when the people came to serve, even to short-terms, they need to discover how necessary is the long-term ministry. But they need to, you know, to test and to serve in order to understand that reality. And when they have this reality and proving the necessary, the long-term, it's easier to take responsibility for the long-term. But they need to come here and see and test and improve for themselves that the necessary how necessary is the long-term ministry.
So if an American comes to Costa Rica for 3 years, if an American person comes to Costa Rica for 3 years and serves faithfully with a long-term perspective for 3 years and then goes back to America, do you think that was a waste?
No. Because for me, nothing is a waste.
So if
the people came to the United States and mobilized, and talk about more and mobilize others to go and replace them.
So I'm just trying to think in terms of what is it? So it's not actually that they spend 40 years. It's that they come with a generosity and a spirit that cares about the long-term progress of the gospel in Uruguay. Even if they come for short term, it's with a long-term perspective. Even if they come for 3 years, it's with a 30-year perspective. So it's wanting to see lasting fruit, not a quick fix. Is that so? Is about the way of focusing on the work for a long-term outcome more than the person has to be there for until they die. Is that right?
Yeah, but we need always to see the other side of the situation, is what is happening in the heart of this guy serving here.
Yes.
You know, because one part is the history of the country and what God is doing in the country, because God is he brought the fruit. No, it's God. But the other part is the heart of this guy serving here, and what is the history that God is making and building up in their life and in his life, you know. And I don't know what God is doing in his heart and how is the plan of God to him when he returned to United States, and we don't know.
Yeah, I think what you just described there is the kind of this ecosystem that God has in mind, where the person who comes to serve is being changed. And the people that they're serving are also being changed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's the big picture.
And then the thing I talked about the Costa Rican superpower of like you said, the joy. you called it joy. I called it passion for life or emotion, and then bringing that together with faith. If you were gonna bring people from Costa Rica to join in for a couple years, how does that fit with the Uruguayan culture? How do the Uruguayan people see those Costa Ricans that are coming? Like, what is it that they experience that's different?
Well, I have seen that Uruguayans appreciate that Costa Ricans in general, this joy, and that good sense of humor of always accompanies it.
And so they can feel that and see that.
Yeah.
And somehow they see Jesus in that.
Yeah. But it's something that I notice opens many doors with the people here. When having a smile, treating people warmly, and that good sense of humor, you know, this kind of pura vida style opens many doors, and it's very appreciated here.
That really makes sense to me. When you picture, an American young person that would come, they would probably have less of the Pura Vida style. what does the American young person bring that might open different doors?
Okay. Good question. Very good question. Let's think about the fact that Uruguayans love friendships that are sincere and lasting, that life is not fast like a bullet train, but more laid back, walk along the coast with someone. That will give us a guideline of the type of missionaries we need and this thing that this generation can bring as well. Those who give themselves the privilege of stopping, you know, and having your schedule interrupted. The key is that your schedule shouldn't be dominated by a lot of activities, but with long spaces for a few people. And people are not their projects, but God has called us to be faithful servants who demonstrate God's love for each other in genuine friendships. And I think that this generation is more close to consider this thing to stop. And the agenda has big spaces to few people. And I like it. This is one that I think.
Yeah.
Well, related with this, I can see the another highly necessary skill could be to be open house people. Uruguayans love showing up out nowhere to see each other and spend hours talking. The missionaries who are not afraid to make space for hospitality generally integrate better into the culture and have a great impact as well. And this is related with this generation, more related with this generation than the other generations.
It's interesting. As you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, if there was a Costa Rican person and an American person that were both in relationship with an Uruguayan person, they will see sort of two different angles on what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus. That there's the Pura Vida, and so on your particular team, do you have any Americans showed up to your team in the last few years? Like any new members of your team from America in the last few years?
Yes, well, my deputy director, I'm the director of Uruguay. My deputy director is an American, he's young, is a young guy, it's Nate Harley. Hi, Nate. And, well, I had the privilege to meet him in a short term trip. He came to Uruguay for, I think, 1 month, and then he returned, and now is serving in. You have now almost 2 years serving with us.
Can you talk a little bit about when you look at him? Can you tell us a little bit about some cultural things that he has brought into maybe some relationships with Uruguayan people?
Well, now he's married with an Uruguayan, and I think that he is, he's very open to be an ear to other people, to talk and has long conversation with people from, he works among students, university students, and he can hear or listen them for hours with their theories and conspiracy theories, a lot of things. And I can see the passions of him to talk with people and to don't push them to change. It's more than like to walk along them. And I can see this character is very relevant in him. And I think that it's part of his generation as well.
So he's represent. There's probably people listening to this podcast that could imagine that they could listen for hours to students in the name of Jesus.
How can we pray for you and your ministry?
Thank you for ask that for wisdom, being in a role where many people depend on the decisions I make with my leadership team on a daily basis. I have realized that God's wisdom is one of the best things I can ask for. How many things do you need?
Three.
Oh,
just three. Three. That's the rule. Just three. We only allow three here.
Okay. The second is the typical for the true for missionaries request. Well, for finances to continue doing what we do, it's always complex to raise and sustain funds in normal times in Latin America. So in times of COVID, you can imagine that it gets a little more complicated.
Yeah.
And the third, for the ministries that our team is involved with to have this impact. For example, the seminary that we work with has leaders in training from more than 100 churches.
Wow.
And my prayer is that we as SIM become the impact for those students that God wants us to be. My top three.
Cool, let me pray. God, thank you so much for Andres and his ministry. Thank you, God, for his heart and the wisdom you've given him. And God, he's asking for more wisdom. And so we pray, God, that you would give him more wisdom as he leads others. We also pray for his leadership team, God, that they surround him and that they have humility and that they learn and that they listen. And God, that he and his team learn to serve one another better. God, thank you for the finances that you have given them. And we ask, God, that you would increase them, that you would help people to give out of their weakness, even during a time of COVID, God, so that your work can continue. And we ask, God, that you give people the faith to step out and to do that and to continue supporting their ministry. God, we pray also for the seminary and for all the leaders who are in training that are about to be, I guess, sent to, you know, over 100 different churches. They represent a really large amount of people. God, that you would put in their hearts the desire to serve with humility and the desire to and the passion, God, to help others love you and to serve you. God, I pray for the people that might be listening too, especially young Americans who may have really busy schedules with lots of task-oriented things and agendas and things to accomplish, God, that you might help them see the beauty of walking alongside someone on the coast and having a long conversation and really pouring into someone's life in Uruguay. God, I pray, God, that you might help them see that that could be something they need to have in their life to be interruptible and to be moved to maybe even answer a call to go to Uruguay. So, God, we pray, God, for those who are listening too, that you might, impress on them this type of call. And we pray for those in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that He has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where He is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.